doop doop a bell, doop 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 a bell, doop 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 a bell, doop 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 a bell, doop doop.
I'm Ronnie Allen, and for the next half hour, I'm going to have to be as respectful as possible and mind my P's and Q's, because I'm going to be talking to royalty. Ladies and gentlemen, it's my pleasure to present the Duke of Earl, a.k.a. Gene Chandler.
Thank you for that great introduction.
You're so welcome, Gene. I have to ask you, Duke of Earl, is that actually... How can I ask this?
No.
What is the deal with Duke of Earl? I've heard of dukes, I've heard of earls, but you are the first and only Duke of Earl?
The first and only.
Okay.
Those are two different titles. But when I was a youngster some time ago, like, what, a couple of years? But in any event, I saw it in movies, of course, when I saw movies of Robin Hood and anything concerning England and royalty.
You were born in Chicago?
Yes, I was.
Have you lived in Chicago all of your life?
All of my life. I do have a condo down in Fort Lauderdale, Florida. I don't get down there as often as I like, but right. I do get down there and enjoy my condo down in Fort Lauderdale.
When you were growing up and listening to the music that was on the radio, were there any particular singers that were your heroes, so to speak, that you admired the most?
Yeah, well, starting in school, it was Pookie Hudson of the Spaniels, deceased Pookie Hudson, who was a friend of mine. Brooke Benton, I was very excited over that.
Before the Duke of Earl, you were with a group called the Dukays, D-U-K-A-Y-S. I have a list of the people here. Let me know if this is correct. James Lowe, Shirley Johnson, Earl Edwards, and Ben Broyles, along with yourself?
That is correct.
Were you Eugene Dixon, which is your real name, or had you already become Gene Chandler?
No, Chandler was later.
Now, you had a couple of records. One that I'm familiar with is called The Girl's a Devil, but the one we're going to play is called Night Owl. What's the story with Night Owl?
The manager that we had at that time, she had written the song Night Owl. We recorded it, and later on when we get into the story about Duke of Earl, they will explain what happened with Night Owl.
You started singing with the Dukays, and then I believe Uncle Sam called you?
I started singing with the Dukays in 1956.
When did you get drafted into the Army?
I joined the Army in the latter part of 57.
You returned to Chicago in 1960, and then you rejoined your bandmates. Did they continue working without you for a while?
Yes, they did. We used to do a lot of cabaret clubs, and they wouldn't make it much money, about $5 or $10 a man a night. The other guys had jobs, and so consequently what we would do was work on the weekends, and sometimes we worked two or three different cabaret parties a night. We'd go to one place and perform, and some other cabaret clubs was there to honor that club, and they would see us and ask us about booking us for their dance. And so sometimes we end up doing two or three cabarets a night as opposed to just one on the weekend, one particular night, like basically Saturday night. So in the process, we met our manager, who ended up being with the group for those years, and the years I was gone, in the early years of Dukays.
Right.
She began to give us other shows and other places. And so, like I say, we would run over here and do a show, and that same night we would run to another place and so on and so forth, and we'd do our shows. Well, when I left and went to the service, she continued to work them. Now, while in the service, I was in Airborne Rangers for 3 years. And during that time, of course, they had the Officers Club and other clubs where people would perform and other soldiers. And so I began to perform as a single. And I was good enough where they put me into the special services to travel around and do shows for officers of clubs and certain NCOs. And in any event, I got that in my head when I came home. I did not want to be with a group. I wanted to be a single artist. Well, long story short, I finished my term. It was time to come home in the 60s. I remember I came home April of 60. Well, I had been contacted prior to that time by my mom telling me that the group had a recording contract and they were waiting on me to come home. About 2 or 3 months prior to the time that I came home, the manager secured them a recording contract. But at the time, they knew I was coming home, so they asked the company, would they wait, because I was their real lead singer, as opposed to who they had. And would they wait? Well, the company had chosen them on the singer that they had, but they talked to the record company and they decided to go along with them and wait till I came home. So when I came home, I came smack dab into the middle of a recording contract.
Not bad. Not
that was easy enough, you know?
Yeah.
So I kind of abandoned my idea as a singer because now I'm going to record for real.
Oh, gosh.
So I joined the group again, and our first recording session, we put out a song called The Girls of the Devil, which did well locally in Chicago. And then in the very next recording session, I made up the song The Duke of Earl, and our manager, Bernice Williams, made up the song Night Owl. But in any event, we finally decided that we would go on and do the song Duke of Earl after the company pressed us and told us that that's what they want. Now, from that point, they had this other song called Night Owl. And we did the session. Both songs sound good. But the story behind that is that the Night Owl record was released, and the Night Owl record took off. Now, the company who had the first right over refusal to distribute our songs turned down the Duke of Earl and took the Night Owl record.
Which was Nat Records?
Nat Records was the company. That was a distributing company. They had the right to distribute our records. And, of course, the Night Owl went out there, and it just took off, and it was going up the charts. Yeah. I had to make a decision that came up, which I will tell you shortly.
We want to point out that when Night Owl was released, it was released as by the Duques. Why don't we listen to Night Owl right now? And it's by the Duques with Gene doing the lead singing. This is Night Owl.
10 o'clock, 10:30, 11 o'clock, 11:30, curfew time. About the break of day.
That was Night Owl by the Duques. Now, we get to the rest of the story. The Duke of Earl.
I didn't know what I was saying. I wrote it. We put it together by accident. We were merely opening up our vocal cords to sing like we always do at rehearsal. And we were actually saying D-O, do. We were saying do, do, do. And I told them to go up the scales. They went up the scales. And I began to put lyrics to it. We happened to be at my home. And there was a guy in the group. His name was Earl. And I told them to say Duke instead of do. You know, that sound more like something we could put a song together by, which was Duke. And in any event, I began to put lyrics to it, and we went over it and over it and over it, and finally my mother come out, she said, when did you all write that song? I said, we just made it up just now. She said, that sounds good.
Night Owl is climbing the chart, and what happens?
Well, Well, another record company called VJ Records had the publishing rights to Night Owl. The company that I was with, they needed money to record, so they sold the publishing to Night Owl to VJ Records. Well, when they heard what they heard, and they heard the Night Owl record, they said, well, what else did you record? They heard the Duke of Earl. Calvin Carter, the A&R director of VJ Records at that time, he just flipped. He said, who has that? They said, nobody. They turned it down. He said, can we have it? He said, yeah, let's make a deal. So, meanwhile, I'm the lead singer on all of Duque's songs. So, they gave me a choice of staying with the group or going as a single artist with the Duke of Earl record over on VJ Records. Now, coincidentally, during the time, VJ was chosen by Calvin Carter, but he had to call the president of the company, Hewitt Abner, who was at that time in Europe negotiating for the very first Beatle records. VJ Records had the first Beatle records, and he was over there making a deal with Brian Epstein. So, but in any event, Abner told Calvin, he said, listen, if you call me all the way in Europe for a song, a record, just buy it. And that's what happened. So I had to make a choice. I decided that I would leave. Now, I was taking a chance because the Night Owl record was going up the chart across the country being played. But I had a little confidence. I felt that even if the Duke of Earl record did not hit, that I would be able to record another album at that time. They would give me another shot. So I went along and decided that I would be a single artist, and I left the group. We agreed to share everything between Night Owl and Duke of Earl. Now, my name was Eugene Dixon. I shortened it to Gene, and Jeff Chandler was an actor that I admired. I took the last name Chandler, and that's how we developed Gene Chandler. And from that point, the Duke of Earl was released, I think, in the latter part, somewhere in the October, November, and the rest is history. You know what happened?
It became somewhat of a hit, like, boom! It became a monster. And let's listen to it right now. This is Gene Chandler and that legendary recording, Duke of Earl.
Duke, 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 Duke of Earl, Duke, Duke, Duke of Earl, Duke, Duke, Duke of Earl, Duke, Duke, Duke of Earl,
Duke, 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 Duke of Earl, Duke, Duke, Duke of Earl, Duke, Duke, Duke of Earl, Duke, Duke.
Through this world, nothing can stop the Duke of Earl. And you are my girl, and no one can hurt you. Oh no, yes I am. Duchess of Earl, we'll walk through my dukedom, and the paradise we will share. Yes, I
Chandler and Duke of Earl. And I have to ask you, is it just a coincidence that you had a song called Duke of Earl and your singing group was called the Duques?
Not at all. I thought about it later. Maybe just because the group was called the Duques, I thought about Duke.
You mean the subconsciously, when you were talking about how the Duke of Earl song was inspired, the do, 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 maybe subconsciously you were thinking of Duques, Duke, Duke, Duke. Is that possible?
I might be right. I never thought of it that way, but I did notice that, of course, it's called Duke of Earl, and we did Duke.
I'm Ronnie Allen talking with Gene Chandler, who is also the Duke of Earl, but not exclusively the Duke of Earl. He also wants to be Gene Chandler, and he's done a very good job. You were in a motion picture back around the time that Duke of Earl was on the chart.
The film. Don't Knock the Twist.
Vic Dana was in that movie.
That's correct. Chubby Checker.
Linda Scott.
The Dovells, Dee Dee Sharp.
Linda Scott was from my hometown of Teaneck, New Jersey, and she was in that movie. And you wore your Duke of Earl regalia. What was it, like a hat, a monocle?
In the beginning, going on stage, I wore the top hat, the monocle, the red sash, the tux with the tails, and, of course, the cape and the gloves.
Did you ever feel like you were doing like a Superman, Clark Kent, like two identities type of thing, a Duke of Earl and a Gene Chandler identity?
No, I was too debonair for that.
Okay. Let's talk about a record called Rainbow. Other than Duke of Earl, Rainbow, in many respects, was your most successful recording.
Yep. I recorded it in 1963.
Right.
It was tough for me to get it recorded because they kind of turned it down and felt like I should do some other things rather than some more Curtis Mayfield songs. They thought like it went too long before the break. It was new and different for them. We recorded it, and when it was time to release the song, they were going for a song called You Threw a Lucky Punch, the answer to Mary Wells, You Beat Me to the Punch. I, of course, was going for Rainbow. I said, well, since you don't like it, just throw it away, make it a B-side. I didn't like You Threw a Lucky Punch, but the song began to go up the charts, and it was doing well. I refused to sing it. Everywhere I went, I sung Rainbow. And I'd never forget it. I was in the Howard Theater in Washington, D.C. I had a week's engagement there. And I was singing Rainbow. After I think it was the second show, I get this phone call from the theater, and it was the company and my manager. And they were saying, well, I guess you got your wish. A jock in Newark, New Jersey, and a jock in Richmond, Virginia, decided to turn it over, and they played Rainbow, and the phones lit up at the station. So Rainbow is going to be your hit. And I was just tickled to death.
There's a rainbow, oh, in my oh, how we parted. And I know, my love is gone forever. But deep down in my heart, I'll love her forever. I'm looking up above, oh yeah, yeah, yeah. Pray for your love. Baby. up this rainbow.
Yeah.
Come on now, baby.
Now, in singing Rainbow on the stage, they kept hollering for more and more, and I would come back out and do an encore. I began to embellish on the original 1963 recording. And that embellishment ended up being recorded live when they recorded me in 1965 at the Regal Theater. They ended up, of course, capturing the original part and the embellishment. So they decided, after listening to the people in the audience, the ladies were screaming and the Rainbow, which they called Rainbow Live 65 Part 2. The company decided to release it under that title after hearing the excitement from the audience. And it became a hit again. Briefly, in 1980, 2 years prior to that, we had began to take every new album and put an oldie song on that I had done in the 60s. And they decided it was time for Rainbow, so we did Rainbow as one of the oldies on the album in its entirety in the studio this time, and for the first time, it had females in the background. But we did part one and two together in its entirety in the studio. Now, the song they were going after was called Does She Have a Friend for Me. It was going up the charts. But in those days, they would release a single before they released the album. When they finished up the album and put it out there, the cover said Rainbow 80. That was the title of the cover. Now, this is 15 years later from 65. And, of course, there are kids that grew up 15 years old from a child. When the jocks saw that, they began to play the Rainbow 80 version. And the song took off again.
Figuring out, Gene, it's been about 28 years now. Is it time for another Rainbow?
I've heard that said, but I'm not recording. But in any event, that was really great to have that song sell three times like that. Different versions, but it sold three different times.
Rainbow, a song that had many lives. Let's talk a little bit about a song called Just Be True. What's the story with that one?
Well, Just Be True was a song that was on Constellation. Hewitt Abner, who was running VJ Records, left VJ through some misunderstanding, but he had me under contract to his label. They didn't know that. I didn't know that because I was on VJ label. Well, when he left, he started a record company called Constellation. Of course, he took me with him. And he didn't want me to do any more of the Curtis Mayfield songs, but I told him that I had to do that song. We had a difference of opinion. I felt like I wasn't going to record if I couldn't do that song. So it went like that for about a month. He finally called me in because I was the one that was selling records for his new company, and he didn't want to jeopardize the company making forward movement, so he went along with me to record Just Be True, and it turned out to be the biggest one.
We're going to listen to it right now. This is Gene Chandler from the year 1964 on the Constellation label, Just Be True.
Baby, now all these things, for you are all that I do.
That was Just Be True by Gene Chandler from the year 1964. Before we play the last record, which is called Groovy Situation, which pretty well describes your musical life, I guess, tell me what you're doing lately. Do you do the oldies circuit, or do you do concerts on your own? What are you doing these days?
I do the oldies circuit. I do some concerts on my own and do some clubs. And mostly I'm out there working today because of the fans. I would have left a long time ago, but it's the fans who keep me out there. I mean, they're so gracious. They're so warm. And I get a standing ovation every time I leave the stage. And I get paid for it. So, you know, it's just a thrill to get the love that's out there.
Wow.
I give it back. And I work hard on the stage. And so it all works out fine.
Thank you so much for taking the time to do this. And it's been my pleasure talking to you. Let me talk about this last record. Let me ask you about this last record now called Groovy Situation. Now, this was for a different record label. It came out in 1970, and the label was Mercury Records. So what's the story behind Groovy Situation?
Well, back in the latter part of 68, going in 69, I started my own record company. Mercury distributed my label for me. It was called Mr. Chan. I had songs called Gotta Get Over the Hump by Simtek and Wiley, Backfield in Motion, you remember that?
Mel and Tim?
Yeah, Mel and Tim, Million Seller.
Yeah.
And I found them in St. Louis, and I found a lot of good writers in St. Louis, and some up more on the label Bamboo. I dropped a lot of people, but I kept some people as writers. Two of those writers wrote the song Groovy Situation. So it was in the catalog when I started my own company. When I got with Mercury, I decided I would do Groovy Situation. It was a little bit different for me because it had a more of a pop feel to it. I was on my own in this case and producing myself, so I heard this song Groovy Situation. I thought it would be a great song for me, and as it turned out to be another million seller for me, Groovy Situation in 1970. That's the same year I won the Producers Award of the Year at the NATRA Convention, Association of Disc Jockeys, and I was very fortunate because Gamblin' Huff and Norman Whitfield, they were hot that year also, but for Groovy Situation and Backfield in Motion, they awarded me the Producers Award of the Year, and Groovy was a big part of that.
That's a tremendous honor. Once again, Gene, thank you so very much. Ladies and gentlemen, we're going to close with Gene Chandler, a.k.a. the Duke of Oil. Duke of Oil, oh my goodness.
Duke of Oil.
Duke of Oil, oh. Maybe I should leave that in as an outtake. I may just leave that in. All right, take two. This is Gene Chandler, a.k.a. the Duke of Earl, with Groovy Situation.
I'm gonna make a mind if it takes all night. Can you dig it? Can you dig it? Can you dig it? Can you dig it? Now that girl, I'm gonna make a mind if it takes all night. Can you dig it? Can you dig it? Can you dig it? Can you dig it? Good evening, sweet darling. May I ask your name? You seem to be lonely. Well, don't worry, I'm feeling the same. Oh, it's a groovy situation, a splendid combination, that we should meet at a time like this. Oh, it's a groovy situation, a splendid combination. You're something that I just can't miss. Now that girl, I'm gonna make a mind if it takes all night. Can you dig it? Can you dig it? Can you dig it? Can you dig it? Now that girl, I'm gonna make a mind if it takes all night. Can you dig it? Can you dig it? Can you dig it? Can you dig it? It's been a long time, sweet darling, since love has come my way. But I'm trying so hard to find the right words to say. Oh, it's a good situation and a splendid combination that we should meet at a time like a day.
Oh, it's a good situation, a friendly combination. You're something that I just can't miss. Oh, it's a good situation, a friendly combination that we should meet in a time like a day. Oh, it's a groovy situation and a thrilling combination. You're something that I just can't miss. Baby, baby, it's a groovy situation and a thrilling combination that we should meet at a time like a day. Oh, it's a groovy situation and a thrilling combination. You're something that
well, that's the show. Now a couple of bonus tracks by Gene Chandler, a.k.a. the Duke of Earl. This was his very first hit record. He did it as the lead singer of the Dukes. Here's that group doing The Girl's a Devil.
I think my baby had to put your show. Oh, she was with someone in the very front row. I said, oh, baby, ain't I your man? She said, come and sit beside me, you can hold her hand.
Mm-hmm. A girl's a devil, a cute
little devil. Oh, she's a devil,
a cute little devil.
The girl is a devil, she tried to make a monkey out of me, but I love her so. I think it took her to the record a hot. Whoa, she made me angry and I blew my top. She danced with every boy that she could see. Said, I heard you sing and say the last dance for me.
The girl's a devil, a cute little devil.
Whoa, she's a devil,
a cute little devil. The girl is a devil, she tried to let the monkey out of me, but I love her so.
Finally, we have Gene doing another one of his solo hits as Gene Chandler. Here's Nothing Can Stop Me.
Out, 'cause you ain't So you and I were pretty close. I'm calling it quits, girl, 'cause it was you I really dug the most. You made me feel like I was too big to hold. Your friends really